Good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for our community connection today. And our community connection is going to be a fun one, too, because I might have something to give away here toward the end of our interview. We're talking with Marilyn Johnson, and she is with Theater Bartlesville, and we've been getting to know each other in the green room. You know, we don't really have a green room. It's kind of like a beige room. But I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Now, great. Golly, we've got two shows coming up this weekend and a fundraiser and everything. This sounds like everyone's busy.
Oh, such a busy time of the year. Even finally, hardly find time to get up and go to bed.
Yes. We've got a nice performance that's coming up, I believe, tonight and tomorrow.
Yes, that is right.
And can you tell, this is a neat one. This kind of takes me back anyway to childhood, and probably it'll take many folks back there too, but of course new to the kids. Tell us about what we're going to see on the stage.
Well, the name of our play is Seven with One Blow, or The Brave Little Kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it is based on the Grimm Brothers fairy tale, mm-hmm. The Brave Little Tailor. That's probably one of the fairy tales that is not quite so familiar to most people.
Mm-hmm.
But Grimm fairy tales just go on and on into the hundreds. I think some of the ones that are more familiar to people are Hansel and Gretel, Cinderella, Rumpelstiltskin, Rapunzel, Little Red Riding Hood, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, and Princess and the Pea. And of course, they go on and on. Mm-hmm. Lots of them that we don't recognize. And maybe The Little Tailor is one of those, mm-hmm. but really fun.
It's going to be. But first of all, we have something really nice. We thought we were getting into hors d'oeuvres, but it looks like we're getting into something else here with our big event, right?
Well, yes. Tonight is the big night. We're serving dinner. Now, some of the advertisement has gone out that it was heavy hors d'oeuvres, but this is a full-fledged barbecue dinner.
Oh, boy.
And plus a silent auction. We don't want to leave that out.
Okay. So bring an empty tummy and a full wallet.
That sounds like a good deal to me.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a lot of fun. And, of course, the money goes to make sure that we have our wonderful resource with us for another year or beyond.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course, every organization has to have the monetary inflow. Mm-hmm. And I know this is kind of a hard time of the year to be asking for a fundraiser. But, you know, that's just a fact of life.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you know, it takes that little green to keep things going. And of course, our theater is really a nice gem to our community. I recently saw a production of Becky's New Car. And I was really taken by the intimate setting that we have there. I mean, that production is brought right to you. And it is just so nice, and it's just so entertaining. You know, it really takes in, you know, something different than what you would see virtually anywhere else. But
well, this is very true. The history of theater in Bartlesville started out with, I think it was in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Bartlesville Little Theater. And through the years, the name has changed. It was Bartlesville Theater Guild, and now it's called Theater Bartlesville. But in the good old days, there was the old Civic Center, and theater practically owned that building. Mm-hmm. We did all of our rehearsals there, and it was a wonderful old building. And then we built the new community center, and we have performed there many times and in the studio downstairs. And mm-hmm. several years ago, we were given the old Penny's building, and we transformed that into the present theater that we're using today. And that's why it is, you know, we've gone from big stages to the small, intimate stage. And there is something very charming about a small stage.
Very.
It's very intimate, like you said. And although we do sometimes think, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have large dressing rooms, et cetera, but the funds that we have been raising have gone towards improving the theater and making more space. And it's just an ongoing project.
It is, and you know, tonight we'll make sure that we have at least another year or so to go on as we raise funds for this event. Now tonight I want to go back to the story with the brave little tailor, as I call it. We're calling it something else, but it's the Brothers Grimm who gave us things like Cinderella and all these other ones, Hansel and Gretel, as you mentioned. This story, I think, it really kind of captures the Christmas spirit anyway, with the moral that's told with it.
Well, yes. At first, if you read the script or see the play, you think, okay, what does this have to do with Christmas? And why had we chosen this to do a Christmas mm-hmm. play? But in the end, well, as you get to know the characters in the play, there's an ogre, the Scarlet Pimpernel, the Queen King, which is played by one person, the spoiled princess, there is a wicked witch, and the month of December, which has been captured by the wicked witch. And therefore, the whole community, the whole kingdom, because December can't get away, it is always cold. And if you come to the play, when you come to the play, you'll find out why the witch has captured December. Mm-hmm. And then in the very end, there is the biggest monster of all that I'm not going to tell you what the monster is or why it is so scary. So you're going to have to come and find that out, mm-hmm. too. We have a wonderful cast. It's a large cast. The kid is played by Stacy Lard, and I'll tell you this. And perhaps those of you who know the story of the brave little tailor will understand this. But the kid is eating a jam sandwich and is surrounded by a bunch of flies. And in desperation, the kid swats the flies and looks down and says, "Oh my gosh, I've killed 7 with one blow." So he decides that he is going to go out in the world. He's going to make himself a sign that says 7 with one blow. He's going to march around the countryside and tell everybody how brave that he is, knowing that everybody will think that he's killed 7 people with one blow. So in his encounters, he runs into the ogre who has the Scarlet Pimpernel as his captive. Then he finds the king of the kingdom and his very spoiled daughter. And so the king says, "All right, if you can warm up the country and if you can get rid of that monster that lives in the rocks, I will give you half my kingdom and my daughter's hand in marriage." Well, the kid says he's not sure about the marriage thing. But what he really wants to do is find his mom and pop, mm-hmm. who have the habit of running away and leaving the kid with a babysitter to take care of him. So the story advances, and the kid does some marvelous things, and he finds the monster in the rocks, and he takes care of December. And in the meantime, the poor little Scarlet Pimpernel sings a song and makes everybody feel sorry for his lifestyle, mm-hmm. and it makes the rest of the people who have bad habits and bad characters, they think about themselves. And all of a sudden, they change. They have been touched by the Scarlet Pimpernel. And they decide with understanding and love that they can change the bad habits that they have. So in this way, it really is kind of a Christmas story. And at the first of the year, when everybody makes resolutions to make themselves better, I think that it is a very touching little story that parents can probably tell to their children.
Mm-hmm.
And the children will understand the humor and the fairy tale part of it, and the parents will like the rest of it.
Very good. Very good. And, of course, you can find this out tonight at Theater Bartlesville, and you can, you know, partake in, of course, all of the fun with the silent auction, the meal, and then the show. And then we've got one Saturday afternoon.
Yes. The Saturday afternoon show will be at 2 o'clock, and this is just strictly for family fun. Parents, bring your kids. We might have a surprise visit from the big old guy in the red suit, and he's going to have a treat for the kids. So you can still buy tickets. You can get them online, or you can come to the box office at Theater Bartlesville from 9 until 1. And the tickets for the play by itself are $10 for 12 and older, $5 for kids 3 to 12, and under 3, they're free.
Huh, why not?
good deal.
Good deal, plenty. And one thing I like, you actually have a little box office out there.
We do.
It's cute as all get out. And, of course, the night of the show, you can come on in, get warm, buy your tickets and everything, so and get your seat for the show. Now, the folks with reserve seating, are they covered here?
Well, actually, we do not have reserve seats.
Wanted to make sure on that.
For this play. So the play tonight, the doors are open at 6:15.
Mm-hmm.
We will have the silent auction. We will have the dinner, and then we have the play.
Mm, very good. Very good. Is there a telephone number in case folks don't want to get on the computer or anything?
Yes. You can call down there between 9 and 1. Mm-hmm. The telephone number is 918-336-1900.
Thank you very much, and I hope we just really raise the roof tonight and really raise a lot of money for Theater Bartlesville.
Oh, thank you so much. I hope so, too.
All right. Thank you very much, Marilyn, for being a guest right here on Community Connection today.
Well, thank you for having me.
All righty. Thank you very much. We've got Brew and Buzz coming up in just a little bit.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1.
Storms are going to be a good possibility.
Don't be stuck in more traffic than you like.
Be nice, Joe. Be nice.
Not a nice person.
Wherever you end up rocking your Christmas, we'll be here rocking the newsroom.
What's happening right now?
Breaking news.
The latest events.
With news, weather, and sports. Weekdays 6 to 10 with Bill Weaver, Evan Farbach, and me, Tom Davis. K1, the one you trust.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain. You don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs it, but only about 3% of the population donates. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. When you make your appointment to donate blood at redcrossblood.org/missing types, you can help give strength to kids, parents, and grandparents who face life and death challenges. From cancer patients to accident survivors waiting for critical surgeries, Your generosity can give someone more life. Don't wait until the letters A, B, and O are missing from hospital shelves. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
From the creator of the perfect phone call.
It was perfect.
Comes the perfect gift.
Right?
The 2019 Trump Christmas doll.
Pull my string, but no pressure.
No quid pro quo, only ho, ho, ho.
Clever.
There's more.
More?
I'll be home for the holidays.
That's nice.
In the White House, 4 more years.
I saw that coming.
Maybe more, who knows?
Merry Christmas.
And a silent night for sleepy Joe Biden.
From K1.
He's tired.
The one you trust.
So tired.
AM 1400, FM 93.3, BartlesvilleRadio.com and the Bartlesville Radio app. Just after 9:45, Evan Farbach, Bartlesville High Assistant Athletic Activities Director Matt Hancock with us. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Morning. Was that you doing the Donald Trump impression?
That was not me doing the Trump doll impression. No, that was a Tom Davis special there. I don't think it was his voice from the Trump doll, but he put that together. That was, I don't think I'd really heard that one. That was pretty good. Anyway, I hope that everyone's Friday the 13th is going well. And, Coach, we're really in a weird spot. I know we keep talking about this every single week, but we're approaching finals week, which will be kind of a dead period for you all. I don't think you're allowed to have any activities. Is that right?
Yeah, that's not an OSSA thing. Yeah, it's kind of our policy. It. Yeah, we do have one event on Friday. We have I take that back. We have a middle school activity Monday. They don't do finals. And then we have Friday, the 20th, of course, we have our first home game.
So. Yeah. Yeah. First basketball home game. Jinx will be into town for a doubleheader Friday evening. And really outside of that, there's not really any varsity winter sports because there's only 3 winter sports, swimming, wrestling, and basketball. But for the most part, after this weekend, the wrestling team is at the Mid-American Nationals. They will be done after tomorrow in Enid until 2020. Basketball has the boys tournament this weekend in Tahlequah. They will have that home doubleheader. It's actually after finals week that evening, that Friday evening at home against Jinx. And then it'll pretty much be a couple, two and a half weeks of downtime until things start back up again. That second week of January is really when everything will get rolling. I know that Tuesday there's a basketball doubleheader. And then that weekend there's going to be the ConocoPhillips Harvest Invitational, which, of course, is with the boys and girls. So that first Tuesday, the 7th, will be that first doubleheader at a winter break for both the basketball teams. And then the ConocoPhillips Harvest Tournament at Bruin Fieldhouse will begin the 9th, and that will run the 9th through the 11th at Bruin Fieldhouse. And we've got a lot of events to talk about for the first time in quite a while. Obviously, basketball's kind of crammed some things in here the first part of the year. We've had 2 Frontier Valley Conference doubleheaders. Both were on the road at Tulsa Union last week. They were at Muskogee this Tuesday. Lady Bruins played 3 games in 3 days in the Carthage, Missouri tournament this past Wednesday through Friday, and the Bruin boys have 1 game under their belt, with 2 more to go in a tournament in Tahlequah. So a pretty busy time. We're starting to find out a little bit about those basketball teams, and I don't think anything to this point has been terribly surprising. And we're going to talk a little bit about press box stuff a little bit later on, but I did want to touch on the sports first. Boys team 0-3. They lost to Tahlequah yesterday by 5. Really young club. So many guys that just haven't played varsity basketball. You've only got 2 guys that have played, at all. I think this is a team that in mid-February will probably be quite a bit different than it is today. But they're going through some growing pains there, but certainly have had some moments, and I thought they played pretty well during times at Muskogee this past Tuesday. They lost that 1-2 in overtime.
Yeah, and it comes to experience, and when you really talk about 2 players with quality varsity time that are able to, come in and it just comes down to fundamentals. You have a chance at the line to win the game there at the end, and you just can't get it done, and that's experience, and those things come together. That's why we play through the schedule. That's why you get better throughout the year. And the girls had, like you said, they had a good showing in their tournament. And there's going to be room for improvement, sure. And that the growing pains that we talked about when we had our last show here, and those things are going to continue to just develop with them. The coach is working hard, players working hard. They'll be up all during our Christmas break. There's really not a break for them. They're going to be practicing. And they'll continue to improve.
Yep, Berwyn guys losing to Union 77-44. They turned around and lost to Muskogee on Tuesday 56-54 in overtime, and then a 41-36 loss to Tahlequah. Yesterday afternoon, Bartlesville falls to 0-3. Obviously, could very easily be 2-1 just with the snap of your fingers, but unfortunately didn't turn out that way. They will take on Salisaw this morning, not long from now, just about an hour and a half from now. In fact, we'll have pregame in just a little bit more than an hour from now over on our sister station, Sports Talk 99.1 FM, 1500 AM, KPGM. You can listen on the Bartlesville Radio app, bartlesvilleradio.com. Click on that KPGM link as we'll have coverage from Tahlequah. Thanks to John Morris, who works in radio down there, for helping us out so I can still get some work done up here during the week. And, of course, we'll rejoin Bartlesville regular programming a week from tonight when Jinx comes into Berwyn Fieldhouse for a girls and boys doubleheader. Did want to touch on the other couple winter sports before we move on to other items. Wrestling doing really well. I know they had kind of a thrilling victory over Sepulpa in a duel earlier this week. They're over 500 in duel play, and then they're going to be at a kind of special Mid-America Nationals tournament this weekend, or meet, I should say, this weekend, and then they're going to be off until 2020 following tomorrow, and that Mid-America Nationals in Enid, if you're wondering.
Yeah, and Coach Paul's for the job he's done. If you have followed Berwyn Wrestling or you've been to any of our duels, you can see the improvement, not only in the numbers that we've had out, but we took it on the chin a lot last year, especially when we got to our bigs towards the end of the duel. And you're starting to see those kids who have not won, but now they're getting pins. And it's been super exciting the last couple of duels we've had. And that win against Sepulpa, I mean, it was just, it was pretty special to see, and the crowds in there. And of course you're in that old stuffy field house down there on that end of the school. And it's just, it's been pretty fun to watch and pretty special to see our kids, the growth that they've had. You can obviously tell that we have quality coaching, and the kids are just improving, and that's really what it's all about.
I talked a lot with Coach Rigdon about that as well, because you don't have to look that long ago, 3-4 years ago, Bartlesville Wrestling was kind of a struggle to get enough guys to come out. You know, mm-hmm. they were given a lot of forfeits just on, you know, certain weight classifications, and that has not been the case the last couple years. And you're seeing that as a big improvement, as you mentioned, but also an improvement just in qualifying guys for state. I mean, there's been numerous athletes the last couple years. I don't want to start listing them because I'm sure I'd forget somebody, sure. but there's been a lot of guys that have individually performed just tremendously the last 2-3 years. And Coach Pulsifer has just done a great job. He has had to build that thing from the ground on up, and Bartlesville is a very respectable 6A wrestling program. Now.
Yeah, that's you're exactly right. And you know, when you look at our structure, we've gone from having to forfeit many of our weight classes to now we have two mats wrestling at the same time with JV. And you know, not only the fact that we have a JV team that can field itself, but the growth of our middle school program as well. We have JV middle school teams that are wrestling at the same time, so our numbers are increasing, and we're starting to see schools that are having to forfeit to us because they don't have those weight classes, and it's a total, you know, 360 that we've done, and so we're proud.
Swimming's still plodding along. They haven't had very many events the last couple of weeks. They're mostly going to be off until at the start of 2020 as well. Did want to touch on a couple of things over winter break as we're kind of getting to that area. You guys will really begin the first kind of visual process of the new press box over winter break. And, of course, first things first, you have to tear down the old one, and then you're going to start, you know, construction on the new one, and that's going to be ongoing after winter break through the spring and hopefully early summer months, and you'll have that thing wrapped up well before football season is done, obviously, is the hope. And I know that that might put a kink into some of the things, but there's classrooms down there and whatnot. And you and I were talking off microphone a little bit that you're going to have to work around that, not only for some of those classrooms, but obviously you're going to continue to have some events at Custer Stadium. Right. We've got soccer there in the spring, and then, of course, graduation once May rolls around as well.
Yeah, and it's exciting. So during Christmas break, we will do the demolition of the press box, which, I mean, I'm pretty sure we could go probably tie a rope to it and just pull it over with by ourselves. But that with that starting, it was kind of exciting. Yesterday, we kind of informally started because we removed all the audio and our tri-casting system out to the scoreboard. They're going to start pulling those fiber cables. And what will happen is during soccer, since that is being developed at that time, since they're going to be doing construction, we're having to temporarily house our sound and our audio and our video equipment in the stadium underneath. And so we'll have access to scoreboard. We will have access to sound. It's just going to be, you know, they'll be at field level instead of that. And we're still kind of in talks of what that's going to look like as far as the stadium itself. Obviously, when there's a crane out, putting a lot of steel on there, it's a safety issue. And so we're working out some kinks on, you know, how, what the seating arrangements will look like. Unfortunately, with progress comes some temporary inconveniences. And but, you know, what's great is we have great coaches, great staff that are going to make this work. And our community is great in understanding. This is, again, none of it's possible without the community. And we're appreciative of what we're going to be able to do. It's going to be great. And so, yeah, being able to come in here in August and have that thing operational and having a HVAC system that we know is going to work, and it's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, it'll be night and day different. And I know that during some of the school board meetings, or actually, I guess they had some special bond meetings. It was during the day. I know mm-hmm. that. You guys and Mr. McCauley had, you know, gave the community an opportunity to go up there and take a look at it. But anything that's newly built will be a lot better than the literal shack that was up there. So right. It's much needed, and it'll be, like you mentioned, there'll be some inconveniences certainly over the next several months for soccer and graduation and some of those classrooms down there underneath Custer Stadium. But still,
yeah,
that'll be great once it's all finished up, hopefully by next fall. And obviously looking forward to moving into there. And also just, I'm sure, aesthetically, how nice it'll make that entire thing look with the Freshman Academy. And you know, it really is already aesthetically, I think, one of the nicer stadiums in the state in Class 6A. But you put a sparkling new press box up there, and you got the Commons, that Freshman Academy enclosed with the pictures on the south end zone, and it's going to look really pretty. I'm sure there'll be some nice drone shots you guys will take, and it'll be very nice.
Yeah, and you should come the time that we start ending our spring sports and get into graduation, when those people are able to file into that stadium and they'll start seeing what it really looks like. It'll be pretty special to just kind of have that picture put together. You know, we've come a long way from new turf, resurfacing that track. You know, a new press box, there's new ag facility going in just across campus that'll be going on at the same time. And then, you know, just across town, we've got turf going in, just kind of got that final approval on logos and design on that turf. And so the turf's being currently manufactured, and they've been going through the process of demo on Dungis, and here pretty soon they'll be rolling over to softball. And it's a really good time right now.
Yep, absolutely. A lot of good stuff that we have to look forward to over the next several months. Coach Hancock, we appreciate it. We'll speak with you next week.
All right, thanks for having me.
Matt Hancock with us on Berlin Buzz. We've got CBS News coming up.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority.